ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text Number 2. Narada Uvacha Ursam Prajana Vidyad Yad Vyakti Atmana Puram Eka tri chatuspadam. Recitation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Narada continued, "You must understand that Paranjana, the living entity, transmigrates according to his own work into different types of bodies, which may be one-legged, two-legged, three-legged, four-legged, many-legged, or simply legless. Transmigrating into various types of bodies, the living entity, as a so-called enjoyer, is known as Paranjana." Purport. Everyone can hear clearly? Is it clear? How the spirit soul transmigrates from one type of body to another is nicely described here. The word ekapada, one-legged, refers to ghosts. We said that ghosts walk on one leg. The word dvijapada means bipod, refers to human beings. When he is old and invalid, the human being is supposed to be a tripod, or three-legged, because he walks with the help of a stick, or some kind of cane. Of course, the word shakshupada refers to quadrupods, or animals. The word bahupada refers to those creatures who have more than four legs. There are many insects, such as centipedes, and also many aquatics that have many legs. The word apakara, meaning without legs, refers to serpents. The name Paranjana indicates one who enjoys possessing different types of bodies. His mentality for enjoyment in the material world is accommodated by different types of bodies. So before we begin, let me take this opportunity to beg for forgiveness for any Vaishnavas that I may have offended in knowingly or unknowingly in the past or in the future. Because we know that nothing worse, even King Rahugana, a great king, said that he didn't mind if he was being struck by the thunderbolt of Indra or torn to pieces by the trident of Lord Shiva. He didn't mind, fear those things. But he feared one thing worse than that, and that was the defense to be offended of Vaishnava. So all of us should be very careful not to commit Vaishnava aparad. The first offense in chanting the holy name is to blaspheme devotees or criticize or offend devotees. If you do that, your spiritual life will be slow, checked, or ruined. So this is a continuation of the narration of Narada Muni speaking with King Paranjana. The Srimad Bhagavatam, translated in Purport by Srila Prabhupada. He struggled very, he worked very hard. He gave his life, his energy, He put in his so much energy translating Srimad Bhagavatam out of his compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. The Bhagavatam is transcendental literature, and by Nesta Parishu Abdeshu Ninjam Bhagavate Sevaya, by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam, it has a purifying effect on the heart. So, this is the important that they we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and this way we can fight the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance and come to the mode of goodness. The hearing we must hear with a rapt attention. When the sages of Narasimha heard from Sukadeva Goswami, they heard with rapt attention. It means you could drop a pin, you could hear a pin drop. So hearing with rapt attention means we must be pure in our eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So that means in all our activities, we must mold our lives in such a way that we're acting, performing Krishna conscious activities. The six symptoms of surrender and to accept everything favorable or reject everything unfavorable. So we should always be checking our see how much, what our activities are they favorable or unfavorable. We should be mindful of this. In this way, we keep ourselves on the spiritual platform. So here is described how the so King Paranjana, he heard this narration from Narada Muni, and in the last chapter, but he's admitting his inability to understand it properly. So again, Narada Muni is repeating this analogy of King Paranjana so that Maharaj Prachini Bhari can understand it clearly. And so all of us can also understand it clearly. So the also we should know that Maharaj Prachini Bhari was a great soul. After hearing from Narada Muni, then he went to Kapila Ashram, which is situated in Bengal, and had the Mela every year, Ganga Sagar, and Lord Kapila did his meditation there. So he went there after hearing from Narada Muni, perfected his life, and went back to Godhead. Same thing with King Rahugana. He wasn't an ordinary king, it may seem so, but he also was on the pilgrimage to when he met Jad Bharat. He was also going to Kapila Muni, Kapila Ashram. So here, describing how the spirit soul transmigrates from one type of body to another. Even in this life, what we think is growth, we're growing, it's not actually growing, we're changing our body at every moment. From boyhood to youth, old age, and then at the time of death. It says the living entity in the material world, he carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries the aroma. And when he gets another type of body, he gets a certain type of eye, ear, nose, tongue, sense of touch. And he enjoys accordingly. He enjoys his senses accordingly. So here it's described that the there are one-legged animals, or one-legged human beings, and those are the ghosts. Are there 8,400,000 species of life? That means, according to the consciousness, there's different life forms. It's not what, it's not that the life forms develop according to Darwin. Darwin's theory, we don't accept Darwin's theory. Darwin's theory is based on bodily conception. He didn't have any understanding of the spirit soul. And in Darwin's theory, there's the missing link, something they don't understand. So Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada said, the missing link is we kick on your head with boot. That's the missing link. So this Bhagavatam is giving the true knowledge, scientific knowledge. There's so many colleges, universities around the world. They have so many different courses, science courses, math courses, but they don't have that one course which gives the science of the spirit soul. And they simply speculate, and they're changing the books every year, changing their philosophy. So they don't really have a true understanding of all these things. But the spirit soul is there. It's not that life comes from matter. They're trying to produce life in the laboratory. But it's not possible. Life does not come from life. A living being, when the soul leaves the body, there's no more life in the body. You can't, no matter how many chemicals you put in a dead body, you can't bring it back to life. So this is misconception in the material world. So the soul transmigrates from one body to another according to one's fruitive activities. So if one prematurely kills himself, suicide, then he has to become a ghost and stay in that ghost body until the duration of his life or karma of his previous life is finished. So this is not recommended. Even Sanatana Goswami, when he went to Jagannath Puri, he had these itching sores all over his body and it was smelling bad. So he thought, well, when I go to Jagannath Puri, rather than be offensive to Mahaprabhu and the devotees, let me just put my life under the wheel of the Jagannath, put my body under the wheel of the Jagannath cart and my life, and this way I won't be offending anyone. But Mahaprabhu did not approve of this. He said that you cannot do this. This is a mode of ignorance. Suicide is a mode of ignorance. He said, this body does not belong to me, to you. It belongs to me, and I have so much service for you to do in that body. So committing suicide is never recommended. Even though it says in Mathura Mahamaya, even if you commit suicide, you go back to Godhead. But we don't know when you'll go back to Godhead or how much you have to suffer. The ghost has a subtle body, and he's trying to enjoy in that subtle body because he doesn't have a gross body. So he's suffering, and he talks why people get attacked by ghosts, because the ghost tries to enter the body. When you're sleeping and your mouth is open and saliva comes out, that's when the time when ghosts can enter your body, when the unclean situation is there in the body. So ghosts have one leg. Then the two-legged animal, or the two-legged, is the human beings, the Dvijapashu. Actually, the human being is meant for, there's a difference between human beings and animals. The human being can discriminate between right and wrong. If the animal breaks the law, the sign says, do not go on the lawn. The dog may go on the lawn because he can't read or discriminate right from wrong, but the owner of the dog, he will get the reaction. So human life is meant for inquiring into self is a tato brahmaji jignasa. It's life for inquiry. It's not just meant for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. If the human being is simply eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and he can't be considered any better than the animal. This is the business of the animals. Only difference is human beings can do it in a more polished way. The animals have sex life on the street, and human beings can have sex life in a nice apartment. The animals defend with their nails and their claws. Human beings defend with atomic bombs and automatic weapons. The animals eat, and they don't eat very nicely. The hogs eat stools, the dogs eat whatever they can find. But human beings can eat very nicely. And even they have invented so many facilities for human beings to sleep. But still, it's the same activity. Animals are sleeping, the dog is sleeping on the street, but it's the same activity. So one should understand that human life is meant for becoming self-realization, God-realization. The thing to do is Savagatihi Vishnu, Spalad Maharaj, said that the human life is meant for going back home, back to Godhead. We should not misuse this human form of life. You know, 8,400,000 species of life are there. But, and it's not that once you become a human being, you know, you can't go back into a lower species, which many, many people think. Even the demigods, the sons of Kuvera, they were sporting in the water in the upper planetary system, enjoying the young ladies, and they didn't have any clothes on, they were naked. And when the great sage Narada Muni came by, they were so intoxicated. The ladies had some sense, they covered their bodies, but the sages, the sons of Kuvera, they didn't have enough sense even to cover their bodies. So Narada Muni cursed them and said, because you are literally acting like trees, they curse them to become trees, lower species. Of course, there's a benediction because they became trees for 100 years in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna pulled down those trees and liberated them. And also, King Nariga was a very pious, charitable king. He had given charity. He had given more cows than the grains on the earth, the drops of water, the rain cloud, and the stars in the sky. He had given that many cows in charity. So one time, he gave a herd of cows to one brahmana, and that one cow wandered back into the herd, and he gave it to another brahmana. And then they both came to him and said, "Now what, you gave me this cow, but now you're taking it back. This is the offense. What to do?" He said, "No, don't worry. I'll give you each 100,000 cows to be satisfied." And they said, no, we're not satisfied. So he went to Yamaraj, King Nariga. Yamaraj said, "Now you have a choice. You can decide whether you want to be, whether you want to enjoy your pious activities or whether you suffer for your simple activities." So King Nariga became a little bewildered because no one wants to suffer. But he said, "I want to suffer. I'll take my simple activities first." So he became a lizard in the well. Of course, this also was a special case because when the boys of the Yadu dynasty were playing in the forest, they became thirsty and they were looking for water. They went to the well to drink water and they saw the lizard in the well. They tried everything to get it out, but they couldn't do it. So then they went back to the Dwarka and told Krishna, "Lord Krishna, there's a lizard in the well." So Krishna came there and simply put his left hand in the well and pull the lizard out, liberate that soul, and hear those stories. Now, of course, these are special cases, but the human being, according to his activities in this life, will determine what kind of body he's going to get in his next life. It's a life of responsibility. Every human being is responsible to see that in his life, his next life is in a higher form of consciousness, higher position. Krishna thought, Arjuna asked, what if someone doesn't finish his Krishna consciousness in this life? He's an unsuccessful yogi. What happens to him? Lord Krishna said that he can take birth in a pious family or a family of Brahmins or a rich family, but again he can take the Krishna consciousness again and finish his Krishna consciousness. So even if an animal takes prasadam, he can get a human birth. As Baba said, we were distributing Srimad Bhagavatam all over the world, and he said if people just touch the Bhagavatam, they get benefit. If they just read one word, they're like, they'll get a benefit. One man had bought a Bhagavatam from a devotee, and his house burned down, and the only thing that didn't burn in his house was the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the point is that the human beings should hear from devotees, Shri Gaurantai Krishna Bhava Radha Shama Sundar Ki Jai. So the main point is when we should not misuse the human form of life, especially in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the holiest place in all universe. When Lord Krishna had his pastime 5,000 years ago. When Vrindavan is meant for bhajan, kirtan, bhajan, nothing else. Modern day people, they don't understand this. Vrindavan is becoming too much commercialized. Oh, you go on the road, there's so many signs, commercials, advertising, get this, buy that, promising happiness, like anywhere else in the world. You can get a nice apartment with a swimming pool and so many things. But that's a misconception. Vrindavan is not meant for enjoying, not meant for raising family, not meant for anything but bhajan. Not meant for anything but bhakti. Bhakti means anya bila sita sunyam jnana karmana vitam anukarana krishna asana bhakti uttamam. True devotional service means free from karma, free from jnana. This is what we should strive for, to become free from material contamination. Because we're in the mode of passion ignorance, sometimes we sleep in the Bhagavatam class, sometimes we sleep during japa, because we're not getting a higher taste, we're not experienced, we're not in the mode of goodness, we're not in pure goodness. But these prabdha karma is still there, so many unwanted things are there, anarthas in the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Sanatana Goswami that the anarthas in the heart are innumerable. Anarthas means unwanted things. And these unwanted things can block our path in devotional service. When you have Guru Krishna presided by Bhakti Lata Beach. So at the time of initiation, we're given that creeper, Bhakti Lata Beej. And the creeper can grow as long as we water the creeper by the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting. These are the nine processes of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering. These are the most important processes, most important items. So as the creeper grows, then Also the weeds grow. Weeds are anarthas. So anarthas are, you know, duplicitous activities, profiteering, being deceitful, lust, greed, anger, all these things are unwanted in our devotional service. So everyone, we must be a diligent gardener, must be very careful. When we have a garden, we hire a gardener, and his job is to pull out the weeds so the garden looks nice. If the weeds grow more than the plants, then the garden doesn't look nice and it's unappealing. But if the weeds have to be plucked out as soon as they appear, so the devotee has to be very careful and recognize the difference between the creeper and the weeds. Otherwise, he's seen that very advanced devotees, sincere devotees, respected devotees have served for many, many years, but then they leave the movement because they weren't careful. Rupa Goswami says, one should not accumulate wealth or accumulate many followers, but this will also spoil one's devotional service. So this is the point. Even for our life is meant for self-realization, becoming Krishna conscious. And the best way to do that is to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Now here it's described that there are three-legged animals. But I don't think any of us have ever seen a three-legged animal. The Prabhupada says in the purport, the three-legged animal, three-legged means an old man, because in an old age, old men need support. Sri Goswami was doing Govardhan Purukam every day, his entire life. But he became very old, and he was falling down. He didn't have a stick. So Krishna came to him and said, gave him the Govardhan Shila and said, you don't have to do that anymore. You can walk around this Govardhan Shila four times. It'll be equivalent to Govardhan Shila, Govardhan Prakram. So this is the three-legged human being. But also, sometimes demons have three legs. When the king of Kashi was killed by Krishna, and also Pundraka, who claimed that he was an incarnation of Vishnu, and he sent his messenger to Krishna, telling him that I am Vishnu, you should surrender your weapons to me. Your signals, this club, lotus flower, So Krishna said, yes, I will surrender my disc to your head. So he met Pundraka on the battlefield. Pundraka was looking like Lord Vishnu. He had four arms, Kustabha jewel, shark earrings. He looked like Vishnu, but clearly an imitation. And Krishna smiled. When he saw him, he smiled, and he took out his chakra, cut off his head. And he also, the king Kalinga was supporting this Pundraka, he also killed him. They threw his head into the city. So when people saw the head lying in the city, they thought it was Krishna's head. But then when they examined more closely, they saw it was the king's head. So the king of Kashi's son wanted to take revenge, so he performed a sacrifice with Tantrihava Brahmins, the 10 mantras, and that demon came out and had three legs. So this is one instance of a three-legged creature. And here, the animals, of course, have four legs. The aquatics, the insects, have many legs. and the serpents don't have any legs. So when there's a fire in the forest, it's a dangerous condition, the animals can flee. But only the serpents, snakes, they are trapped because they don't have any legs. So the last sentence in this purport, the name Puranjana indicates one who enjoys possessing different types of bodies. His mentality for enjoying in the material world is accommodated by different types of bodies. So, this is the nature, material world, especially in Kali Yuga. They're making so much facility for people to enjoy. Promises are there. If you buy this product, you'll enjoy. If you do this, you'll enjoy. But we know it's only temporary. Yukaya Lama Shaswatam says in Bhagavad Gita, from the highest plan to the lowest, the places of suffering and misery, where one takes repeated birth and death. So the enjoyment in this world is only temporary. Temporary relief from the moment's relief from the suffering. Prahlad Maharaj told his friends, as soon as you try to enjoy this world, that's when your suffering begins. He says that the suffering and enjoying has already been determined by your past karma. People are suffering all the time. They have to go to the medical shop and get some medicine. No one wants to suffer, but it comes on its own accord. But people don't understand that your enjoyment also will come on its own accord. They say, no, no, no. We ask the people, when you give a donation, take a book, no, no, no. I work very hard for my money. I'm the doer. Ishvaraham Ahambhogi. Man thinks I'm the doer. I have so much money now. Anybody stands in my way, I'll kill him. I'll get more and more and more. We're trying to enjoy up to the point of death. They invented medicines and cosmetics and so many things to keep people look young. But you can't do it. You can't stay young. Everyone must take birth, death, old age, and disease. These are the problems of life that everyone must face. And there's no enjoyment. Simply going, taking one body, next body, and trying to enjoy. Even King Indra, one time Indra became a hog. You see so many hogs in Vrindavan laying in the filth. They're thinking they're happy. So there was no one to be Indra, take the post of Indra, so he sent Lord Brahma. He said, go and bring Indra back. So Indra, the Brahma came and said, Indra, you come back, be the king of heaven again. He said, no, no, I'm a hog now. I have so many children, wife, I'm happy in this life. Happy this way. So then Brahma, he killed all his family members, and Indra came to his senses. So, living entities, they're trying to enjoy in different species of life, but it's not possible. Therefore, we should understand clearly, we should take advantage of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, following those four regulated principles in devotional service. No meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. But also, there are 64 items mentioned by Rupa Goswami. Angas of devotional service. We should also follow these. And we should also be careful not to commit offenses in the holy dham. There's dham aparad, seva aparad, nam aparad. Whereas if we could commit seva aparad in the deity worship, we could counteract that by reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita, worshipping Tulsi, circumambling the holy dham. If we commit dham aparad, we can also get relief from that by circumambling the dham, doing Vrindavan Prakram, Govardhan Prakram. But if you commit nam aparad to the offenses of the holy name, then you can't counteract that nam aparad. But it's not that you should stop chanting, but you should stop offending the holy name and go on chanting as much as possible. This will counteract the offenses to the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya had a conversation with Haridas Thakur, and he asked Haridas Thakur to describe the 10 offenses to the holy name, Harinam Chintamani. So we should very clearly understand what are the 10 offenses to the holy name, and understand that the 10 offenses to the holy name, not only when we're chanting japa, but throughout the whole day, 24 hours, we should avoid offenses to the holy name. In this way, we'll progress in our spiritual life. If we're offending the holy name, if we're chanting nam aparad, then you will not get prema bhakti. Prema pramartha mohan, this is the goal of life. Prema, to attain love for Krishna. This is the goal of this movement. We're an educational institution. We're educating people how to develop their love for God, how to develop their Krishna consciousness. So, this is the pitfall. Many pitfalls already mentioned in the path of devotional service. The most of service is like a razor's edge. It's very stringent. We have to be very careful. You know, if you're shaving your face and you have to answer to the cell phone or something, you may cut yourself. So you have to be very attentive. So the same way with devotional service, we have to be very attentive in our practices. Everything should be done with great care and attention. We should not be whimsical. We should not be lax in our daily activities. Especially chanting japa. We promised everyone who has taken mission to chant 16 rounds. That should mean 16 attentive good rounds, not 16 rounds of shnik shnik ram ram or whatever, half sleeping. We should try very, we have to be determined. Rupa Goswami says there are 6 things necessary to make advancement. One is we have to have determination, enthusiasm, determination, patience. These things are necessary. Enthusiasm, we should be enthusiastic to chant. And Haridas Thakur also said that kirtan and japa, they're both required. But he said that kirtan was more potent than japa, 100 times more potent than japa. Because by chanting japa, we're only benefiting ourselves. But by doing kirtan, we're also benefiting all the other living entities. Here it's only describing the moving living entities, but there are many non-moving living entities, such as trees and plants. So Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas Thakur, how will these non-moving entities be delivered? So he said, when you chant loudly, the echo that comes back from the trees and plants, that is the chanting of the non-moving living entities. So in this way, we should all be very happy that we're able to reside here in the Holy Dham. If we're here for a short time, a long time, whatever it may be, we take advantage of the Holy Dham, roll in the dust, take bath in Yamuna, visit all the temples, visit all the places of Krishna's pastimes. We should stand as much chance as much as possible, read as much as possible. Everything we should do, because Srila Prabhupada, he wanted the devotees to come to Mayapur, come to Vrindavan once a year for the festival, and then go and preach all over the world. And by doing this, because the Dham has so much potency, they can recharge their battery. It's like when you recharge your cell phone, it did last for some time. Then you have to recharge it again. So the devotees should come, the Prabhupada wanted the devotees to come every year to recharge their battery. So they can have the potency, have the strength to go and fight Maya. Vibration, Guru Maya, Mama Maya, Dehadaya. Material energy, very strong. Very difficult to overcome. But if we surrender to Krishna, surrender to Guru, then we can overcome Maya. Maya it's her duty to keep everyone in the material world. But when we take to Krishna consciousness, we're declaring war on Maya. But, so, Maya will test us in so many ways. Do you want to serve Krishna, or do you want to disturb Krishna? If you want to disturb Krishna, then you have to, you can't be a good devotee. You may be a devotee, may not be a good devotee. But if you want to serve Krishna, if you're sincere and serious, Maya will help you in that way, help you to serve Krishna. In this way, we can make progress in spiritual life and not have to take birth in any one of these lower species, but go back to Godhead, even in this life. So now I have to do some service. So I thank you all for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.